McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get to it, America. I was, what a busy weekend. Great to be with you today, and we're just going to jump right into it. I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, you are right to feel outraged right now. You're right to feel furious over what we've always known, and honestly, we've known this for a very long time, that that a great fraud has been perpetrated on the American people. A great fraud has been perpetrated on the American people. And everything that is happening, everything going on in the news right now, it's not by happenstance. This is all very well choreographed, and I'm not surprised by any of it. Now, some very difficult things are going to have to be discussed over the next little while, and in this country, not just on this radio program. But I will say this, that we have to have those conversations. There is going to be an effort to silence anyone who wants to talk about Joe Biden and his health. But I truly believe that what we are in the middle of, in the throes of right now, is the greatest political scandal in the history of the Republic. Now, over the weekend, in preparation for this week's show, I squirreled away some time, and I read Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson's new book. I got an advance copy of it. And this is a shocking book. And it's only shocking in the sense that everything that you were told, everything that was shared with you on this radio program during the 4 years of the Biden administration was the absolute God's honest truth. You had people out there trying to discredit what we were saying on this program when it came to Biden's health. But the reality is that it's all true. It's all true. And the mainstream media lied to you. That's the reality of it. They lied to you. Hollywood lied to you. The Democrats lied to you. And the Republicans were just so cowardly that they would not go to the mat and demand accountability of the Democrats. And I don't believe they're going to, even still. We'll get to Cash Patel and Dan Bongino in just a few moments. But as I was reading this book, every single page I turned, I just became angrier. I'll give you an example. There was, back last year, Joe Biden was in Las Vegas. And as the story went, Joe Biden was had suffered some sort of a medical incident, and Joe Biden had been rushed to the hospital. As a matter of fact, the police were alerted. They were preparing to block off all the roads, and they were trying to get the presidential motorcade as quickly as possible to the hospital. At the last minute, they decided to get the president onto Air Force One. They were able to get him on board, and the story, and Laura Loomer was the only person reporting this information at the time. And the trip back to Las Vegas, the plane was moving at such a rapid pace that people were not able to stand up on Air Force One. Every single one of those allegations, that every single bit of that reporting was refuted by the mainstream media, every single one, including the White House press pool that had been ushered out. So, again, medical emergency, press ushered out. They were not allowed to see or be around Joe Biden at all. Something happened so traumatic that they didn't want the press to see. As a matter of fact, if you go on X right now and you go back to Laura Loomer's original reporting, there are actually notes saying that it wasn't true, it wasn't accurate. Well, it turns out, according to Jake Tapper's book, every single thing Laura Loomer said was in fact accurate, down to this little nugget that one of the flight attendants was actually tumbled over because of the speed of the plane trying to get back to Washington, D.C. So all of that to say, this has been a cover-up. And it's not that we should be surprised by this, because we were all seeing it, and yet the media was telling us, don't believe your lying eyes. That's what they were telling us. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that people have to be held accountable here. And this is where we're going to run into a lot of pushback from Republicans. And I will tell you that some Republicans are not willing to go down this path. Some Republicans, even some conservative cable television networks, are not willing to talk about what we need to talk about here. Now, on this program, we do not find any sort of glory or joy in anybody suffering at all. And it is a terrible thing, the news that came out yesterday. But they're playing politics with this news that came out yesterday. This was all a carefully scripted moment. And our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers are with the Biden family as they're dealing with this news. But ladies and gentlemen, this diagnosis did not just happen within the past 24 hours or 48 hours or week or month. As a matter of fact, when you listen to the medical experts, prostate cancer that has advanced to stage 4 should have been caught years ago. So it's very possible, ladies and gentlemen, that Joe Biden has had this aggressive form of prostate cancer for as long as 10 years, and they covered it up. They kept it from the American people. Now, folks are saying, why is this a big deal? Why do we need to know about the president's health? We need to know about the president's health because it's very clear the man was in cognitive decline. We need to know who was running the country over the past 4 years. Who controlled the nuclear codes? Who was it that was responsible for the auto pen that signed off on dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of pardons, executive orders? Who was responsible for all of that? And is it possible that we had a senile president who actually selected a Supreme Court justice? The question is, should and will Biden and his family be held accountable? If the reporting is accurate from the medical experts, the former president may not be in the picture much longer. So there will be calls, and I'm just saying prepare yourself for this. There will be calls from Republican leadership saying that we don't need to be going after Joe Biden because he's a dying man. Well, the reality is he was a dying man for a very long time, and it was covered up. And this is unacceptable. Again, the book was coming out. The book is coming out tomorrow. And I'm just going to tell you, I was prepared to come on to this program today and just obliterating all of D.C. over this. And we're still going to do that. But then the news came about Biden and his health diagnosis. It is not by coincidence this happened. This was all strategically planned, because now people, even on Fox News, are saying, well, you know, we probably shouldn't be talking about Jake Tapper's book now. That's unkind. That's uncouth. Well, we need uncouth in the country right now. A great fraud has been perpetrated on the American people. By the way, I want to play some audio here. This is from Dr. Zeke Emanuel, who was on MSDNC. He was on Morning Joe. And I appreciate his sheer honesty, but here's what you need to understand about Zeke Emanuel. This is the brother of Rahm Emanuel. So these are big dog players in Democrat politics. Dr. Emanuel, a very well-known physician, cut 13.
You believe it is likely, if this prostate cancer has spread to the bone, that he could have had it for up to a decade, but certainly it's likely, would it be fair to say, it's likely to have had this for at least several years?
Oh, more than several years. You don't get prostate cancer.
So I just want to stop you. So this is not speculation. If you have prostate cancer that is spread to the bone, then he's most certainly, you were saying, had it when he was president of the United States.
Oh, yeah. He did not develop it in the last 100, 200 days. He had it while he was president. He probably had it at the start of his presidency in 2021. Yes, I don't think there's any disagreement about that.
So there you go. This is not a doctor on Fox. It's not a doctor. It's not the Surgeon General from the. This is the brother of a top Democrat strategist in Politico saying, look, Biden has definitely had cancer and he had it during his presidency. So a couple of thoughts here. First of all, the White House physician must be subpoenaed, must be hauled before Congress. And we've got to get to the bottom of this because the president of the United States has access to the best medical care in the nation. So are you telling me that Joe Biden was never tested? He never had the prostate exam? Never? That's what you're telling me. Because that's what they're wanting you to believe here. Or it's very possible that they knew that this was a terminal condition going into the reelection. They wanted Biden to get in there so that Kamala Harris could be installed as the president of the United States. What they were not counting on, ladies and gentlemen, was the fact that the American people rose up and said, you know what? We're done with the Democrats. We don't trust you. We're going with Donald Trump. So we've got a lot of audio to play here. This is an insane story. But what really bothers me about all of this is that Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, as I was reading through their book, over 300 pages, and I was missing a phrase. There was one phrase missing from both of those men, and it was the phrase, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. These men destroyed people's careers. These men called into question the credibility of many conservative journalists and talk show hosts, authors, when they knew all along that those people were actually telling the truth about Joe Biden. Something very nefarious has been happening in our country, and we need to know who was really running the Biden White House, because it sure wasn't Joe. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here. I want to take a quick break, 901-260-5926. Get your reaction to the news that's coming out over the weekend, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. America doesn't need barbed wire or secret police to lose freedom. All it takes is silence. Live Not by Lies is a gripping docuseries by Angel Studios that reveals how soft totalitarianism is creeping into everyday life. Through powerful stories from people who lived under communism, it warns of what happens when we surrender truth for safety. This is a must-watch for anyone who loves faith, family, and freedom. Stream the series now, only on Angel Guild, by visiting angel.com/Starnes. Oh, you know the person that is the most evil here? It's got to be Dr. First Lady Mrs. Jill Biden. According to the book Original Sin, by the way, she required White House staffers to call her either Dr. Biden or Dr. B. That if you called her anything other than that, you would get in trouble. This woman is insane. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's start our day in Youngstown, Ohio. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Hal, what's on your mind?
Yeah, there's something called the Medical Information Bureau that, as far as I heard, every time anybody in America goes to see a doctor and gets diagnosed with absolutely anything, that doctor has to send in a report with that person's name and what they were diagnosed with to the Medical Information Bureau. They're supposed to have files on everybody in the country, And I could have heard wrong, but this is what I've heard several times in the past. And all you would have to do is get access to Biden's records from the Medical Information Bureau, and that would tell you right there with the first time he was ever diagnosed with the cancer. And it's just a good idea if there's some way you can get access to that.
Well, Hal, I will say this. I think that bureau is actually used by the by the way, it's confidential, so you can't just call up and ask for information, and then you have HIPAA involved. But Biden actually let all of this slip. Actually, Biden and his brother let slip the fact that he was not well. If you go back to 2022. When Biden was speaking, and here's what he had to say, cut number 8.
And because it was a four-lane highway that was accessible, my mother drove us, and rather than us be able to walk. And guess what? The first frost, you knew what was happening. You had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window. That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer.
See, there it is. He said he had cancer. So as soon as the president made that announcement, the White House freaked out and immediately put out a statement saying, no, he misspoke. It was just a gaffe. But Hal, I don't think it was a gaffe.
No, that's all you get from the Democrat Party is lies and everything else, you know, to cover up their sins and abominations. So. If he said that he had cancer, ain't no way, you know, that prostate cancer. I've got prostate cancer myself, and I know it goes real slow. Usually when you get old and you get prostate cancer, you'll die of old age before the cancer kills you. So he said by the time it gets in your bone, you've had it for a long time. So if he has cancer in his bone right now, he's had it for a long time.
All right. Hal, thank you for that call. Let's go to Irene in North Carolina. Hi, Irene. What say you?
Hi, Todd. I have to disagree a little bit with Hal there. My husband had prostate cancer in 2012. He was every 6 months he went for checkups because he had an enlarged prostate, and he was good. Then in July, he went for a 6-month checkup, and he was found to have aggressive prostate cancer. He was an 8.5 on the Gleason scale. He had to have it out by surgery September of that year. By September, his Gleason was 9.5. The doctor says he would be dead within 2 months if he didn't have it out. Now, in Biden's case, I am a conservative. I am not a Democrat, no Biden lover, no Harris lover. But it's possible that this aggressive just took wind and went off. But I believe he had the cancer all this time. But I think it just became so aggressive and then it hit the bone. My husband was very lucky through the grace of God that it didn't hit his bone.
Well, I'm glad to hear your husband's, you know, was able to get that treated. I think the challenge here is, every major prominent urologist in the nation is saying there's no way they could not have known. There's just no way. Irene, thank you for that call. Ladies and gentlemen, how can you ever trust the Democrats with every? That, by the way, is the issue in this book, is that all they just named the names of the Democrats who lied to their people, their members. It's unbelievable. Got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some, we needed some sound
Where
effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece MyTowel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we're very happy to have you with us wherever you might be listening to us across this great nation. Well, some other news dropped over the weekend. FBI Director Kash Patel and Dan Bongino sitting down with Maria Bartiromo. This all happened on a Fox Business Channel, and he actually announced that, hey, it turns out The most violent city in America happens to be my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee. Take a listen.
I didn't know this till my confirmation process, but Memphis, Tennessee is the homicide capital of America per capita. Didn't know that. We have a problem there. We're now addressing it. We're rolling out one of our task forces in the state of Tennessee.
Well, this is welcome news, and I have to imagine that those FBI agents are going to be welcomed in with a parade of people saying thank you and come and save us from the criminal thugs. Here with us to discuss all of this is just an amazing patriot. His name is John Covington. He is the vice president of the Memphis Police Association. John, good to have you on the show today.
Todd, it's my pleasure. It's a real honor to be on the show with you. Thank you.
Look, this is very welcome news, and I think it surprises a lot of people, including the FBI director. You would think New York City, Chicago, Detroit, but it's Memphis, Tennessee.
It's Memphis, Tennessee, and this is the most welcome news we've heard in a long time. Thank you to the director of the FBI for coming here and bringing resources, casting a light, some really positive news. And let me tell you, Todd, it's not just homicides. Memphis per 100,000 has 2,094 aggravated assaults. Now, what's an aggravated assault? It's an incompetent murder. And sometimes you hear people say, well, if we're not careful, we'll turn into Detroit. Well, be careful. Maybe we do want to turn into Detroit because they have less than we do, 1,547.
So you're saying that Memphis, Tennessee is more dangerous than Detroit, Michigan?
More dangerous than Detroit, St. Louis, Baltimore, New York. When it even surprised me, you know, I worked on the streets and patrol, and now I advocate for officers as vice president of the MPA. And when I looked at these aggravated assault numbers, they are so far ahead of anywhere else in the country. It was even shocking to me, and I didn't think I could be shocked.
It seems like that nationwide we're dealing with the same problem in a lot of these big cities. You have, you're electing far left district attorneys that are embracing, they're either funded by George Soros or they embrace his ideology. And the other part of it is the city, you know, city leaders who are just not giving the police departments the resources they need to fight the crime out there on the streets. So what's happening in Memphis?
Well, we're facing a situation where in 2011, we had 2,480 officers in this city. And guess what? The lowest violent crime we'd ever seen in the history of the city. Today, 1,893. Guess what? Some of the highest violent crime. And what we're facing when we're getting destroyed by, it's a competitive market for officers. We're losing hundreds to other agencies. We get offered a 0%, and we're fighting for a meager 5% just to keep us competitive in the game. So that is not the kind of support you need to get violent crime under control.
So just to set the and again, this all happening at really an interesting time. You had that announcement come out.
Yes.
On Sunday. On Tuesday, city leaders are going to decide whether or not to either give you guys a 5% increase in pay, which is what you guys are asking, but they're actually wanting to not give you any additional raises. Zero.
Zero, which you can imagine the message that's going to send. You know, over the past...
What is that message?
Well, the message is that the city's not serious about fighting crime. The message is it's a lack of support for officers, and we are going to see the floodgates open of officers leaving. And one of the things I'm going to say in my presentation, anybody who votes no on that council and this fails, you own the next year of violent crime that is going to be visited upon your constituents.
In New York City, the same thing happened, and they are facing a huge, they were facing a huge exodus of police officers, early retirements, people getting out and going to work at other police departments. Are you guys seeing the same thing in Memphis?
We are being devastated by it. And, you know, but it doesn't have to be this way. Another city I brought up, Detroit, they netted 343 officers in 1 year and are 96% fully staffed. You know why? 20% raise. They streamlined their ability to hire officers from other departments. And they got serious about it. If you go through that academy and quit within 4 years, you got to pay for your training. They got serious, and guess what? They rebuilt their department.
This is a story that, I'm just surprised by, because you would think Detroit, Michigan, it's a violent town.
Right, and now their homicide numbers are dropping down to some of the numbers they saw in the 60s. It's working. It got so bad in Detroit, they hit rock bottom, and they said enough is enough. The answer is more police, and they got serious about it. We as a city have to get serious about it, too.
What's really the message here for other cities around the nation that are maybe dealing with a rise in crime? Maybe police officers aren't getting the resources that they need to do their jobs.
You got to support police, and it's a numbers game. I always go back to, I don't know what kind of plan General Custer had. I don't know what kind of plan the Sioux Nation had, but I know who won because I know who had the numbers. So it gets down to me. It's less about whatever plan you bring. If you have the numbers, you will be successful, and you've got to support your officers out there in the street.
We talk about this a lot on the program, and my thing about Memphis is it's a great town. It's a beautiful city. I think it's a city worth saving, which is why I moved back home to do, you know, a very small part of that. But what is it that the officers are facing out there? I mean, we say it's a war zone. Is that an understatement?
Let me tell you, Todd, I talked to some of these officers. It is call after call after call. They're just getting pounded. And you go from one violent shooting to the next. Talk about the toll it's taking on these officers. And we're so short that they can't get time off. It's just a grind. And I tell you, I want the citizens to understand. I get that downtown is a jewel. But when we're this short, where are the resources being pulled from? From the neighborhoods, from the citizens. It is just getting more violent. So we got to get these numbers up, and we've got to support this. I just don't know where we're headed.
So you're putting out the all call for the citizens of Memphis. Tomorrow is really a pivotal moment in one of the nation's largest metropolitan areas.
Well, I think it's going to be a statement because certainly Washington's making a statement. We're coming in to help you. Here comes the FBI, and thank goodness for it. We're going to need their support and help. So this is a chance for the local politicians to say, are we committed to the safety of this city? Because you look at San Francisco, look at Detroit, some of these, especially San Francisco, even they have gotten the memo and are starting to make changes because this is not the day of the criminal. You've got to support law enforcement.
Well, in San Francisco, they got rid of the George Soros DA and they brought in a tough on crime DA.
Exactly.
And it's making all the difference.
When San Francisco gets it, you might want to stop and say, maybe we should get it too.
Wow. John Covington's with us from the Memphis Police Association. And, you know, it's interesting because there were some numbers that came out a couple of weeks ago, and correct me if I'm wrong, but more than half of the people that are arrested and charged, those charges are dropped. So they're not even prosecuting the criminals.
I tell you, man, that was so heartbreaking to see. Now, we see it on the street because you end up arresting the same people over and over because they just get out. But when the courts drop the ball, when the DA drops the ball, we're not on the same page. Because how did they fix things in New York under Giuliani? Everybody got on the same page. Well, the courts and the DA are not holding up their end of the bargain, and we're paying the consequences.
All right. So for all of our Memphis area listeners, what's happening tomorrow afternoon, and what are you asking our audience to do?
Well, at 4 o'clock, and it was originally 3:30, they changed it to 4. I'm going to be arguing in front of council for a 5% raise on behalf of officers. The city is going to be arguing for 0%. Now, the council starts at 4. I don't know exactly when we'll be scheduled. Sometimes in the past, I believe it or not, they tried to wait till the very end when a bunch of people left to do
Of course they did.
Two important votes.
Go figure that.
But the more people who are down there standing up and saying, I want a safe Memphis that is committed to law and order, the better, because we'll get that message across and hopefully we'll be successful, because quite frankly, we cannot afford not to be successful.
And of course, now it is becoming a national issue, what's happening in Memphis, because our tax dollars, we run the FBI. They're going to be allocating resources to fight the crime here in Memphis, or at least assist to make sure that Memphis is a safe place.
And we are so welcoming, so thankful that they're going to be here, because it's a recognition from Washington that they get it. They see, the people on the outside see the crisis. Will the leadership inside the city see it as well?
Is it also safe to say, John, that elections have consequences as well?
Wow. Yes, they do. You know, elections have true consequences, and you know, I wish more people got out and voted with common sense, because the common sense is you vote on a safe, prosperous community, that's what you get. If you don't vote that way, well, you reap what you sow.
It's a lesson, I think, for the rest of the country.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it's not like they've completely defunded the department, but clearly you guys do not have the resources you need.
We don't. And part of it, too, is perception. You've got to send the message that we stand strong for the men and women in blue. That's part of the message, and we've got to put it first and foremost. It can't just be put to the side. This bothers me a little bit. You know, we're able to buy a hotel here at the last minute, and there's almost no debate. And I'm not saying whether it was a good or bad idea, but then when it comes to funding your officers, like, well, I don't know. Come on. Our priorities are definitely out of whack.
I would say instead of the city purchasing a dilapidated downtown hotel, maybe they should first fund the police department and the fire department and fix the potholes.
Be careful. You're making too much sense, Todd. They'll come after you. They're going to come after you.
No. So the mayor over the weekend, he's calling on the city to engage in what they're calling a negativity fast. And he says no more trash talk about our city. No more same old Memphis mindset. No passive complaints. And we countered that. And my recommendation is, how about this one? A murder and mayhem fast. John, we can say no more homicides or carjackings, no more disrespecting the police, and no more cookie and tea summits with gangbangers at City Hall.
Well, we know it works and we know it doesn't work. And we all for the power of positive thinking, but hey, we need more than that.
All right. John Covington. John, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, sir.
We'd love to get you back on some big national crime stuff down the road.
I'm available at any time, my friend.
All right. John Covington, everybody, from right here in Memphis, Tennessee. And again, the FBI now officially designated Memphis as the homicide capital of America. They are sending the FBI. They're going to be welcome. I can imagine people just lining the streets with Trump flags and American flags saying, welcome to the Bluff City.
My phone erupted. Officers are so excited.
Are they really?
Oh, my goodness. The text and people, I love it. They send me things like they're the first one telling me about it, but that's fine. But my phone lit up. There's so much excitement about this.
It's again, it's President Trump saying, we got your back.
And, exactly.
And, you know, the Trump family, they are so involved in Memphis with St. Jude,
That's the Children's Hospital,
doing a lot of charity. So it's nice to see them stepping in and saying, you know what, we're going to do our part to help make Memphis great again.
Amen, Todd.
All right, John, thank you again.
Thank you, sir.
All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. And again, this is a lesson for every other city in America. Do not let your city leaders do what they've done to the police in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go right to our phone lines, 901-260-5926. Charles in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind today?
The same thing you started out with. My blood has just been boiling all weekend, Todd, about Joe Biden and the cover-up. You know, when I listened to those tapes, those audios, it just made you sad. You were sad, and you were also just, you know, angry. And people that I was out around this weekend and talking to feel the same way. And they were asking me and saying, well, you know, what do we do? And because, you know, we can't go back and inaugurate Donald Trump. We can't go back to 2021. And, you know, we've lost 4 years. But, Todd, I do think there is a remedy to make it whole. Because, you know, if you commit fraud and theft, you're not allowed to keep it, no matter when it's discovered. And I wish Mike Johnson and somebody in Congress would introduce a resolution to really seriously look into the 2020 election and also who was running the country for the last 4 years. And if it can be determined that Joe Biden was never legitimately elected or he was in charge, then I think that something needs to be passed by simple majorities of both houses of Congress and signed by President Trump that basically says every executive order that Joe Biden signed, every piece of legislation that he signed, every pardon, and every judicial appointment that he made, including Ketanji Brown Jackson, is null and void. And he gets to go back and pick the new judges and Supreme Court justice. Because, you know, Todd, when somebody like Lance Armstrong, he was stripped of 7 Tour de France titles. If a baseball player or a basketball player cheats, they don't get to keep the prize. If I defrauded you out of money, I don't get to keep the money. But this is the only thing we can do. And then we need to bring all these people and charge them with conspiracy, with treason, and with fraud. And if convicted, they all need to spend the rest of their lives in jail.
So, yeah, I do not disagree with anything you said. The only concern is the Constitution here, and are there mechanisms to make that happen? I'm not sure we're going to be able to undo. I mean, right now Trump is going through, and the executive orders are undoing the damage that has been done. Now, as far as perpetrating the fraud, I think there is something legal that we could do there. And Donald Trump shared something somewhat that was cryptic over the weekend, talking about military tribunals and talking and again hinting about Obama being behind some sort of a criminal act. If I was reading in between the lines there, Charles, and it seems to me that somehow evidence has surfaced within the FBI that literally does connect Barack Obama to the Russia collusion hoax. And if that's the case, then everybody has to pay a price. They do. And it's going to be ugly. We're going to have to suck it up. There are going to be so many Republicans who want to forgive and forget, and we cannot go down that path. I mean, if it's true that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton tried to sabotage a presidential campaign, and then once Trump was elected, tried to overthrow a duly elected president, they belong in federal prison.
100%. And Todd, we know that that's what happened because James Comey met with Barack Obama and Joe Biden in the Oval Office in early 2017 and pretty much laid out a plan to completely interfere with his administration. But to your point, there needs to be some type of Nuremberg-style tribunal where people like Merrick Garland, Anthony Blinken, Jill Biden, Jake Sullivan, all of these people, those 51 intel agents, they all need to be subpoenaed. They all need to be put under oath. And I'm sure there's people that'll come forward and talk and reveal the truth. But something's got to happen. I mean, we didn't forget about what the Nazis did in World War II. And this has been a great crime against the United States of America and the Republic. And I don't want to let bygones be bygones. I want justice, and I know that you do too, and I think millions of other Americans do.
Well, we're going to see how this goes, but I'm going to tell you now, the Republicans we've got up on Capitol Hill, I don't think they have the stomach for the fight here. So it's going to be up to all of us working the phones, urging them and demanding that they do the right thing here. Charles, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. Just a quick reminder, and by the way, welcome to all of our YouTube listeners. And if you're not watching us over on YouTube, go and check it out. Be sure also to pre-order a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can pre-order it right now at your favorite bookstore. The book will be in stores on June 17th. We want you to pre-order a copy right now. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. Hour two. Coming up next.
Feel like you're stuck in career limbo? Clock in, clock out, repeat. No growth, no new opportunities. It's time to break out and break into tech. With CBT Nuggets, you can start building the IT skills that companies are hiring for right now. We make training fast, simple, and practical. From networking to cybersecurity, you'll get short, easy-to-watch videos and hands-on virtual labs so you can build real-world skills without expensive gear or complicated setups. For just $59 a month, you get unlimited access to our full training library. That includes certifications, skill-based learning, and practice exams, a $100 value included free. Learn anytime, anywhere, and get job ready on your terms. Thousands have used CBT Nuggets to launch new careers, and you can too. Right now, CBT Nuggets is offering a free trial. Easily find the training you need and test it out with no commitment. Start your 7-day free trial now at cbtnuggets.com. Don't wait. A better job is just a few clicks away.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. By the way, Mayor Brandon Johnson out of Chicago has made some stunning pronouncements. This all happened Sunday at a church where the mayor has now admitted what many thought for the longest time. The mayor is only hiring black people to run Chicago. That's it. Yeah, if you are a person of the Caucasian persuasion or if you're Asian or Hispanic, you're not getting any government contracts at all. As a matter of fact, here is the mayor, cut number four.
Prime construction contract at O'Hare under my administration is the first black prime construction worker company to have a prime contract anywhere in the United States of America. And that's critical, not just for BOA construction, but for the lives that he's going to transform because he's hiring them. But it's also critical for other major construction companies or mid-sized construction companies that are black owned to know that there is a mayor who sees them and is going to work hard to ensure that whether you're developing homes, whether you are, you know, looking to help take advantage of the opportunities through aviation, you know, whether it's entrepreneurship to provide a service, that there are resources available for you in the city of Chicago. And one thing that I know for sure that I have to do over these next 2 years, every single dime that our people have been robbed of, I want to make sure that that is returned to threefold.
All right. So the mayor, admitting that he's a racist. He's only hiring black people. But it's the reason why he's only hiring black people that has a lot of folk talking. Cut number six.
Some detractors that will push back on me and say, you know, the only thing that the mayor talks about is the hiring of black people. No, what I'm saying is when you hire our people, we always look out for everybody else. We are the most generous people on the planet. I don't know too many cultures that have play cousins. That's how generous we are. We just make somebody a family member, right? This is how we are. And so business and economic neighborhood development, the deputy mayor is a black woman. Department of Planning and Development is a black woman. Infrastructure deputy mayor is a black woman. Chief operations officer is a black man. Budget director is a black woman. Senior advisor is a black man.
So he went on and on and on. And by the way, he's making these announcements and these declarations in a black church. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts here on this, folks, because I saw this firsthand in New York City where you have people being shoved aside, pushed aside simply because of their skin color. In this case, if you're a white person in Chicago, you're not getting anything. But the mayor says the reason why is that the reason why blacks need to be in charge is because they are the most generous race. And that if a black person is in charge, then it's good for everybody. The implication is that white people would be the exact opposite of that. Now, a couple of things here. The mayor now admits, he won't come out and say this, but he's admitting that he's not hiring the best and the brightest. He is hiring strictly first and foremost on skin color. That flavors everything that the mayor of Chicago does right now. Now, I will tell you, in Memphis, the same thing is happening. I'm about to say this. People cringe. They cringe when I say this, but it's true. And the reason they don't, the reason why they cringe is because, well, Todd, we're good Southern people, and we're not supposed to talk about stuff like this in public. But we have to talk about stuff like this in public. So here in Memphis, you know, we have a black mayor. His name is Paul Young. And nice enough guy, you know, good family man, married, have two great kids. They live in a gated community. They're protected by security, unlike most of the rest of the city. And the mayor goes out there and he makes all these pronouncements. And he talks about Memphis wanting to be known for its swagger and soul, which is code for murder and mayhem. But what he's really talking about is he wants Memphis to be known as the largest black majority city in America, which it is. But that's where he stops. He says that we have to be known for our blackness. That's what Memphis is all about. And it's every single announcement, every single initiative, it is geared towards black students, black business owners, black cultural institutions. And at some point, all of the white folk want to raise their hands and say, okay, well, what about us? You know, the downtown parks and community, they're saying, you know what? We don't want those white-centric things in our downtown anymore. Because this is Memphis, and we have to be known for swagger and soul. And that's what Chicago's mayor is saying. I mean, I appreciate his honesty. Yeah, he's a racist. He's got a problem with white people and Asian people and Hispanic people. I mean, I appreciate the mayor being honest about it. At least he is honest about it. Because the reality is that in these majority black cities, what's happening is a reverse form of racism. That's what's going on in places like Chicago. By the way, have you heard about this? It was a crazy story. There's in the Deep South, and if any of you have been to the Deep South, you know they have these beautiful plantation homes, right? And I don't want to get into the history of the homes, but they were called plantation homes for a reason. And these beautiful antebellum mansions in the southern states, and predominantly in Louisiana along the Mississippi River. And anyway, one of them burned to the ground. Nottoway Plantation, one of the most beautiful and one of the largest remaining antebellum mansions in the South. Whole thing just burned right to the ground. Now, it turns out that it was an electrical fire. But so it was not done intentionally. However, there are many activists out there that are actually celebrating the destruction of the Nottoway plantation. And a lot of people are saying that all of the remaining plantation homes should be burned to the ground as well. One man writing from the Black Wall Street Times says some call it a tragedy, talking about the destruction of the Nottoway plantation. Some call it a tragedy, but for many black folks, it feels like a small act of justice. That house was built by enslaved hands and later turned into a wedding venue that profited off our pain. Maybe now our ancestors can rest a little easier. Sometimes ashes feel like freedom. Now, the local parish president in Iberville Parish, Louisiana, a guy by the name of Chris Daigle, writing on Facebook, Nottoway was a symbol of both the grandeur and deep complexities. That's code for slavery. While its early history is undeniably tied to a time of great injustice, over the last several decades, it evolved into a place of reflection, education, and dialogue. Although, I mean, I guess if you have a bad marriage there at Nottoway, you could be feel like you're in chains. I mean, it's, you know, the marriages. Anyway, I digress. We are trying to make this a better place. We don't have any interest in left-wing radical stuff. We need to move forward on a positive note here, and we are not going to dwell on past racial injustice. So my question is this, and I know I don't mean to ask this, but well, actually, I do mean to ask it. But how long is it going to be before these activists, because they've already torn down all the statues, right? They've already torn down all the statues. How long is it going to be before they start calling for all of the mansions, the plantation homes, to be dismantled? How long is that going to happen? Because, and the reason I ask that is because last week you had the Democrat caucus, or the caucus, on Capitol Hill announced that they were calling for a mandatory $14 trillion reparation package. So they want, and it doesn't matter if you're from slaves or not. If you're black, you get a chunk of this $14 trillion they want in the form of reparations. So I'm just curious here. A lot of people thought, well, they burned down all the statues. And I will say this, in Memphis, Tennessee, they burned down all the statues, or they tore down all the statues. They dug up the dead body of a Confederate war general, and they renamed all the parks and the streets and all of that. And the crime only got worse. They said all of it was supposed to unite us, and we were going to be living in this post-Civil War, post-racial utopia. And now it's worse than ever. So I do wonder, and I mean, I'm glad it was not intentional, but you wonder, are they going to start targeting the antebellum plantation homes next? I'm just wondering. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Before we go to break, I want to play this. All of this does tie into what's happening in South Africa right now, where there is, contrary to the reporting, there is a genocide happening. White farmers are being targeted and attacked and brutalized. And here's what one African leader had to say about that. Cut number two.
And so deep into history, you've taken us back to the 17th century. Yeah. In that case, shouldn't everybody leave the property to the Khoisan, who are thought to be the native occupants of South Africa?
No, actually, Africa and South Africa, it belongs to the Bantu people. It belongs to the Ngunis. So it belongs to the people of Africa.
What
and
about Tevi here?
We are not saying it doesn't belong here. Now that we are living together here, our perspective is that the land must go back to the chiefs, the traditional leaders, and the state. We are unapologetic about this. Mm-hmm. Land must be expropriated without compensation.
So this guy is saying that, yeah, the land has to be taken from the white farmers and handed over to government tribes. So understand what's happening in South Africa is reparations. They're taking and then taking it away from the white folk and giving it to the black African leaders. I just have a question as we go to break here. If the white people are not welcome in Africa, and many of it's their homeland, if they're not welcome here in America, right, because we're the colonizers, where exactly are white people supposed – where do we come from? Where are we supposed to go? I mean, maybe that's why Elon is so hell-bent on trying to get everybody to Mars. Maybe that's – we're about to be evicted off the planet. I'm just wondering, I mean – where are we supposed to be from? And I ask that because now the latest word came out. I know we're going to break. Hang tight. Word just came out that Stonehenge was actually built by black people. I'm not kidding you. That's the revelation. Okay. So if we're not from England, where are we from? We'll be right back. A lot of folks in the MAGA world upset with Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, the FBI director. Over the weekend, both Kash Patel and Bongino said that the death of Jeffrey Epstein was a suicide. What I find fascinating is they didn't used to believe that. So, Kash and Bongino sort of built a cult following with their belief that Epstein was killed. So Glenn Beck was weighing in on this, and, you know, he's trying not to disparage Bongino or Patel, but he's saying, look, what we need to see here, the full unredacted forensic and autopsy report, which is true. We need to see those. Also, their surveillance video. Where was the surveillance footage? What about the sworn testimony from the neutral parties? The entire timeline of the camera, the exact moment it turned off, why it broke, and why is it that the most high-profile prisoner in America was removed from a suicide watch just days before? And one of the things that Bartiromo did not address is, well, what changed your minds? I mean, you guys for years have been saying that you believed that Epstein was killed. What changed? What evidence did you see that changed your minds? Now, what I love about, and this just happens all the time, but anyway, these guys get in like Pam Bondi, and they say, you know, oh, these things are going to be done on day one, and they never are. And I'm just telling you right now, these three Congress people that stormed the ICE detention facility, they're not going to get arrested. James Comey, he's not going to get arrested. Man threatened to assassinate President Trump, but he's not going to jail. And the reality here is when you they also hinted that other scandals that they really built their professional careers on, the there is not there. I think that phrase was used multiple times. The there is not there. So anyway, a lot of folks very unhappy with Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. A lot of people have questions. And there's nothing wrong with having questions. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Jackson, Tennessee. Don, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Don, what's on your mind?
Man, how you doing, Dave?
I'm well, thank you.
My question is, since it was five black officers that beat that black guy to death, when are they going to burn Memphis down? If it's been a white officer involved, it ought to be burnt down. So are they delaying this, or what's going to happen out of this?
Well, you're talking, I'm assuming you're talking about the Tyree Nichols case, which is not what we're talking about today, but I will try my best to answer your question, Don. Say what you will about Memphis. One of the things about Memphis is that we do not riot in this city for whatever reason. So I don't think there was any, threat of that sort of violence, you know, in the aftermath of the police officers. We just don't have a history of doing that, at least in recent memory. So, again, and I certainly hope nothing is burned down. I mean, that's been the big problem here is the lawlessness. And also, the police chief, who is not very well respected by the rank and file, she was brought in only because she was a woman. And a lot of people believe that she's not qualified for the job. I mean, we need somebody who, I mean, we are, again, Memphis is on a wartime footing right now. It's that dangerous here. Don, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking with our great friend and Republican strategist, Steve Gill. He's going to drop by. We've got the big, beautiful bill. It advanced out of committee late last night in the dark of night. Why do they do things in the dark of night? Why do they do? They do a lot of stuff, a lot of shady stuff when nobody's watching. But we were watching, so we'll talk more about that as well. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. The news. Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange and listed on the big board. Millions of Americans like you are joining our news revolution. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America. Even President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax, and its audience grew 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. And if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor and get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com. You can stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome in our good friend, Steve Gill. Steve, I got to tell you, going back to the opening of the show, I was reading the advanced copy of Original Sin, and the more I read, the angrier I got over the deception and the cover-up.
Well, I get angry about the title because it should have been plural rather than singular, because there are so many sins to account for rather than just calling it Original Sin.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point. Of course, the news coming out yesterday of Biden's stage 4 prostate cancer diagnosis. And sure enough, like clockwork, Steve, everybody, including some of the folks on the conservative TV channels, were saying now's the time just to be quiet. We need to be respectful, and we don't need to be talking about the cover-up anymore. What say you?
Well, there's so many cover-ups. I mean, again, 2 years ago, he was given a speech and made reference to his cancer, and everybody kind of just glossed over that and thought it was just another gaffe by the incompetent in chief, and yet now we know he was, you know, letting the truth slip out. You know, his brother a few months ago, when he was leaving office, made mention of the fact that now he could spend the rest of the time he has left with his family.
Yeah,
so there have been hints.
As a matter of fact,
kind of
we've
glossed over.
Steve, we've actually have that soundbite. Let's play cut 12, please.
CBS News had a brief conversation with Frank Biden, one of President Biden's two younger brothers, and here's what he told us. He said, "I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. He is a genuine hero. Country over self. It sounds corny in our cynical political environment, but he nor I are cynical. The goal remains the same, defeat Trump and continue the work that Joe has done. My hope is that our party rallies around this heroic act." We asked him whether he feels that his brother's overall health and vitality played a major role in this decision, and he says, "In my humble opinion, absolutely." So a member of the president's family now confirming that the president's health was indeed a major factor in this decision and calling his brother a hero for making the decision to pass the torch to Kamala Harris.
Steve, you know, here's what gets me. I just don't see how the Democrat Party can survive after this. They lied to their base.
Well, I was an English and history major in college, and it will be shocking to some of my professors that I actually paid more attention than they thought. Talk about foreshadowing. Not only did we have, you know, Biden himself talking about his cancer a couple of years ago, then his brother is laying this out. Again, they were telling us the truth. It's just the media and his staff were covering it up to try and maybe get another 4 years so he could just pass the torch without an election to Kamala Harris, because they have covered up and lied consistently. This is one of the smaller ones. And now they're trying to push back against the fact that the Burr interview gets released. This is when they've now just released this for the first time, to cover up the fact that he was not mentally competent to be serving and making decisions the entire last several years, which throws into question all of the pardons, all of the other actions he took, the nomination of a Supreme Court justice. How much can be reversed in the same way that if I go to court in Memphis today, I can reverse a lot of actions of a senile, mentally incompetent individual signing contracts because they are not mentally competent to make those decisions? What decisions did President Biden make that can be reversed or should be reversed? Just the same way I could go to court in Memphis and get decisions reversed for somebody that's in a senior citizen's home suffering from dementia.
One of the things I've noticed about the book is that they're naming names, and it seems as though the point of the book was to try to shift the blame directly to Biden's inner circle. I get that. I don't see how that's actually going to play with the base of the party. I think, you know, people are going to have to, fess up here and admit that they knew that Biden was not capable. But over and over and over again, there was a phrase, it was the take away the keys moment, the talking about, you know, how they had an elderly parent and they took away the car keys. And that's what they kept saying over and over again about Biden. I'm going to play this for you, Steve. This is Van Jones yesterday. On CNN, cut number three.
Anybody who cares about this country and about just the dynamics of power, this is the emperor's new clothes playing itself out in real time. Everybody knew, but everyone was afraid to say, except for David Axelrod, for 2 years, that something was wrong here. And so, I was shocked. I love Joe Biden. I don't like him. I love him. I got a chance to work with him when I was a part of the Obama administration and loved him more every day. I was shocked to see his condition when he came out, and so was the world. And that wasn't the first time he was in that condition. The book makes it very, very clear. There are people who knew and said nothing, and that is a crime against this republic, and I think the Democrats are going to pay for a long time for being a part of what is now being revealed to be a massive cover-up.
I thought that was interesting, that phrase, crime against the republic, Steve.
Well, and to paraphrase the great question from Howard Baker, former Tennessee senator, what did they know, when did they know it, and how far did they go to cover it up time and time again, not just at the White House, not just his inner circle, but everybody who was having any connection, any conversations with this guy knew, especially the media, like Joe Scarborough and others that were, you know, dropping F-bombs, questioning anybody who questioned his mental capabilities. Again, this cover-up ran deep. It's still running deep as they're now trying to cover their own rear ends, claiming that they're going to write books and admit that they maybe should have been a little tougher in raising questions. It wasn't the questions. They knew the answer. They just weren't sharing the answer with the American people.
Oh, and that's a fair assessment. By the way, again, so many things happening over the weekend. There was still a lot of outrage. We understand James Comey was brought in for questioning. He has not been charged. And I'm just wondering if the Republicans will ever have the stomach and the intestinal fortitude to go after these folks. Because let me tell you something, Steve. You and I both know if these had been Republicans, they would have already been in jail.
Well, and I want the Jeopardy theme song playing constantly at the Department of Justice, at the FBI, as Cash Patel and Pam Bondi just keep waiting and waiting and waiting to take any action. That Jeopardy theme song just needs to be playing over and over again to let them know the clock is ticking and that the base, not just the MAGA base, but the base of America is waiting for action over the litany of lies and perjury that have been committed by these folks in creating the hoaxes, the Russia hoax and the Hunter Biden cover up. I mean, there's just so many. And you asked a great question, and Van Jones kind of underlines it a little bit, of whether the Democratic Party can recover from this Biden cover-up. Can the Democratic Party, Todd, recover from their constant embrace of the 20% or less of every 80-20 issue right now, whether it's boys and girls sports, whether it's the failure to recognize the truth that they're not cutting Medicaid or Medicare, they're removing fraud, the dead people, the thieves from Medicaid and Medicare. How much longer can they oppose DOGE finding and eliminating fraud and take the wrong side of every single issue and survive as a political party?
Yeah, it's a great question. I want to go back to this military tribunal thing. Trump actually, he retruthed this. And he said, all roads lead to Obama. Retruth if you want public military tribunals. So we now know that Kash Patel, the FBI director, he was talking about this Sunday and saying they've uncovered all these secret private documents they did not know the FBI had. And I don't know about you. I would love to see military tribunals, especially if they've got the evidence that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton tried to sabotage Trump's election campaign.
Let it all hang out. It's kind of the same thing, Todd, I feel about the claims that there may have been kickbacks and financial payoffs from the drug companies during COVID, from Ukraine money that's being dispatched overseas and rolling back into the pockets of members of Congress. I don't care if it's Republicans or Democrats. Lay it all out. Follow the truth to where it ends and let them end up, whether it's in military tribunals, court martials, or hanging from a rope, if that's how we still handle treason, let it all hang out and let the chips fall where they may.
All right, Steve, we're going to leave it there. Good stuff. Always appreciate your great insight.
Thanks, Todd. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. The great Steve Gill, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. By the way, J.D. Vance, the vice president, asked about this on Air Force Two, about Joe Biden and the cancer diagnosis. Here's what the vice president had to say. Cut 17.
We really do need to be honest about whether the former president was capable of doing the job. And that's no, you know, that you can separate the desire for him to have the right health outcome with the recognition that whether it was doctors or whether there were staffers around the former president, I don't think he was able to do a good job for the American people. And that's not politics. That's not because I disagreed with him on policy. That's because I don't think that he was in good enough health. In some ways, I blame him less than I blame the people around him. And why didn't the American people have a better sense of his health picture? Why didn't the American people have more accurate information about what he was actually dealing with? This is serious stuff. And this is a guy who carries around the nuclear football for the world's largest nuclear arsenal. This is not child's play, and we can pray for good health, but also recognize that if you're not in good enough health to do the job, you shouldn't be doing the job.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not even any middle ground there. It's, yeah, we feel horrible for anybody who's dealing with the disease, but the reality is we need to know who was leading the country over the past 4 years. I mean, it really is that simple. All right, got to take a break. Going to the phone lines. Coming up next, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back, everybody. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Former RNC chair Reince Priebus back in the news. Here's what Priebus had to say about all of this, the hullabaloo surrounding Biden's cover-up. Cut 16.
First of all, people were put to shame, me and others out there that talked about Joe Biden's mental acuity. We were told he was sharp as a tack. He had a photographic memory. He was intense and brilliant. And what's amazing is the sources of this book were the same sources that told us that we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. It's a stutter. Stop talking about him. The fact is they were managing his decline in a nursing home in the White House.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, it was the most expensive nursing home in America. Talking about the White House. He's not wrong there. Oh, by the way, did you see this horrible story over the weekend? And we've got all the video up on ToddStearns.com. There was a Mexican Navy tall ship. They were making some sort of a global cruise. They made a stop in New York City, right there on the East River. And so anyway, something happened as they were getting ready to cast off. There was some sort of a mechanical failure, and so the ship just starts drifting up the river. Now, what's interesting about the East River, it empties into the New York Harbor. So at high tide, the water is going in the opposite direction. And so that's exactly what happened. And the ship ran into the underbelly of the Brooklyn Bridge. What, two people killed? I mean, several dozen people injured. Just shocking. And so now Chuck Schumer's out there, and the Senate minority leader is blaming Donald Trump and DOGE, saying that they that all of the budget cuts have resulted in the collision, which had nothing to do with it at all. Anyway, it's these videos is just shocking, and it turned out that a lot of the cadets, I think they had 277 people on board this ship, and many of them were up on the top of the mast when the collision happened, and it's really tragic, but just a terrible story. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up in the next hour, Hillary Clinton has some comments for all of you conservative women out there, all of you women who want to get married and have children. She's got a big problem with you people, and we're going to be playing some of that coming up in the next hour. Also, I want to go back again to these Democrats who for years lied to your faces about Joe Biden. Cut 11.
Does the president have the stamina, physically and mentally, do you think, to continue on even after 2024?
Don, you're asking me this question. Oh, my gosh. He's the president of the United States. You know, I can't even keep up with him.
The most difficult part about a meeting with President Biden is preparing for it, because he is sharp, intensely probing and detail-oriented and focused.
I can testify, because I've been working very closely with this president for the past 2 years. I've been knowing him for 30 years. And I'm telling you, this guy's tough. He's smart. He's on his game.
Joe Biden has vision. He has knowledge. He has a strategic thinker.
The president is focused. He's detail-oriented. He's always thinking about the big picture.
He is engaging. He is capable. He has an incredible record as president.
And I'm often with him on foreign trips. He's at the top of his game.
So he has a vision. He has knowledge. He has judgment. He has a strategic thinking.
I met with the president, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, and he seemed fine to me.
I have complete confidence in the president. I have watched him expertly guide meetings of staff and cabinet members. I could not have more confidence in the president.
I would just tell you that I meet frequently with the president, and every single time I meet with him, he is just fine.
But he is, knowledgeable, wise.
Incredibly sharp, incredibly probing, incredible command of the details.
He is sharp. He is on top of things.
There is nothing to these challenges, these suggestions that somehow he's not sharp and he's not capable.
We see Joe Biden up close. We know how attuned he is to the issue.
And you're going to see how smart he is and the experience he has.
I say his age is an asset.
He's wise.
Yes, he's wise. He has wisdom. He has experience.
And his experience, because of his age and his wisdom, has been invaluable to this country.
It goes on, and we could do 3 full hours, ladies and gentlemen, full 3 hours. The fact of the matter is, the cheese has done slid off that man's cracker, and we knew it all along. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. Hang tight, everybody. In the meantime, head over to toddstearns.com. Check out our free podcast and newsletter. Be sure to download those great resources. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So over the weekend, man, I had a working weekend. It was a long weekend for yours truly, ladies and gentlemen. So one of the things we're doing with the book, we always have an audio book, and I'm usually so busy that I don't have time to sit down and actually record the audio books. I did it once before, and for me, it was not an enjoyable thing, which is sort of weird, right? Because I talk for a living, but it was just a little tedious. And so the last book I did was, what, I think, Culture Jihad or something. Anyway, that was that. And then they came to me again. They said, no, we really want you to do the audio version of your new book. By the way, the name of the new book is Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. So over the weekend, I did the deed, and it took, I think, 10, 11 hours. Oh, man, it was a long day. But it was actually somewhat enjoyable, and I'm not doing a good job of selling the book, am I? It had nothing to do with the book content, but I think the book's content did make it enjoyable, and it was a lot of fun. And as I was going through the book and reading it page by page, word by word, sentence by sentence, I realized, dang, this is a fun book, and I'm excited for you to read it. The book will be in bookstores June the 12th. And it's one of these books, it's a devotion book for patriots. You say, what is that? What does that mean? What is that? What does it mean to have a devotion for a patriot? Well, there are some things that we need to come to terms with as American citizens. And if you're a person of faith, if you're a Christian, this book is for you. And we predominantly because I believe that God wanted America to be created. I think that God ordained everything that has happened here in this country. And as I was reading through the book and the lessons and the reminders for people of faith and the responsibility that we have, and that's what I'm getting around to, I believe that Christians, more than any other people in America, and this is not disparaging anybody else, I'm not doing that, I'm just telling you that I believe as Christians, we have an extra responsibility to be even more patriotic than everybody else. And the reason why is I believe that our founding fathers meant for us to be a Christian nation. I believe that when the pilgrims came to America, they came here predominantly they came here because they wanted to be able to practice their faith without getting shot or killed or thrown into prison. They didn't want to be persecuted for their religious beliefs. Were our founding fathers perfect? No, they were not. That's not the point. But I believe that God honored that. I believe that God honored the sacrifice and the moment that the pilgrim stepped out on faith. You think crossing the Atlantic Ocean in a wooden boat was an easy thing? Not at all. Many people died. But I believe that God is honoring, he honored the sacrifice of our founding fathers. I believe that God honored the sacrifice of those who gave their lives fighting for the world during World War II. I truly do. So when we look at these incredible blessings that God has bestowed on us, I do think there's a reason why God continues to bless America. He's not finished with us. And I believe that there's a lesson for us to learn here. And so that's why Michelle Cox and I wrote this book. I think you're going to love it. And I want you to get a copy of it. Pre-order a copy. We understand that Amazon, we just got word Friday, apparently the response on Amazon has been so great that Amazon is putting in a huge order for the books. And if you've read Our Daily Biscuit, which has become a bestseller, you're going to love this one. And it's of the same style and variety. It's not as funny as Our Daily Biscuit, but that's not the point of this. The point of this book is to really inform you, to educate, but also to encourage you, to challenge you. And it is not a political book. I know that's kind of shocking to a lot of people, but it's really not a political book. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Welcome to the Tom Stearns Radio Show. An honor to have you with us today. Hillary Clinton is mad at all of you conservative women folk out there. Hillary speaking at New York City's 92nd Street YMCA. She was being interviewed by Margaret Hoover, and she was asked what advice she had for the first female president of the United States. It's really fascinating. So Hillary had this to say, cut number 9.
What advice do you have for the first female president of the United States?
Well, first of all, don't be a handmaiden to the patriarchy, which kind of eliminates every woman on the other side of the aisle, except for very few.
Lisa Murkowski. Liz Cheney.
Yeah, there's a few. Look, first we have to get there, and it is, you know, obviously so much harder than it should be. So, you know, if a woman runs who I think would be a good president, as I thought Kamala Harris would be and as I knew I would be, I will support that woman.
All right. So, wow. Wow. That was a very butch group of gals there gathered at the Y. And we don't judge here on the Todd Stearns radio program. We really do. Well, actually, we do, don't we? But Hillary really took a nasty swipe at all of you conservative women out there. Now, I will say a couple of things. First of all, in the context here, Hillary believes that all of you conservative women, and I'm going to enlarge that group for just a moment here. That would be you Christian women, too, that there's something wrong with you because you submit to your husband and you follow the teachings of the New Testament when it comes to roles, gender roles within the family. And there are roles and husband. And it's interesting when you, and it was just by coincidence, our pastor was actually preaching about this on Sunday. And the pastor said, you know, there are multiple verses about women and their role in the family. But there was one verse about men. And the pastor said, you know, maybe the reason why there was just that one verse is so that it would pack an even bigger punch, because men actually have a greater responsibility and when it comes to the family unit. So anyway, I don't want to get into a theological discussion here. But Hillary says there's something wrong with you. If ladies, if you want to stay home and you want to be a mom and you want to raise your kids and you want to tend your household, if you want to be a domestic goddess, that there's something wrong with you. And you wonder, and it's really sad, because one of the reasons I think Hillary Clinton is such a miserable person is that she's trying to find her satisfaction in, you know, being elected in her job, as opposed to truly loving her family. And you see that when you look at the relationship that Bill and Hillary have had. What is it that Hillary can remember back when she offended Tammy Wynette? Well, and she put on the fake Arkansas accent. Well, I'm just not one of these women who's going to stand by my man. Whew, mercy. Anyway, Hillary was also asked about President Trump. And, you know, President Trump is out there, and I'm very curious to hear thoughts on this. President Trump says that all of you Americans need to start having babies. In other words, he says you need to start taking some, you know, you need to start getting with it. You need to start popping out little Americans. And the reason why is because the illegals, I mean, folks are coming here, and it's the illegals that are having all the children. And Trump says we've got to do something about that. And when you look at the birth rates here in America, it's insane. By the way, if you think it's bad here, it's worse in Japan and even worse in China. So here's Hillary Clinton offering her 2 cents worth on this. Cut one.
As I posted the other day, this very blatant effort to basically send a message, most exemplified by Vance and Musk and others, that, you know, what we really need from you women are more children. And what that really means is you should go back to doing what you were born to do, which is to produce more children. And they are talking about, you know, cash benefits for the more children you have. This has been tried, by the way, in other countries, and it has not worked. Or medals if you have 6 children. While they're contemplating cutting Medicaid, while they have no interest in paid family leave or funding quality child care, they're cutting Head Start. I mean, you go down the list of all the programs that support child rearing and the care of children and create, you know, some safety net for women who are in the workforce, the formal workforce, as well as, you know, raising children. So this is another performance about concerns they allegedly have for family life. But if you had read the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, despite Trump saying he knew nothing about it, if you had read it, it's all in there. It's all in there. Return to the family, the nuclear family, return to being a Christian nation, return to, you know, producing a lot of children, which is sort of odd because the people who produce the most children in our country are immigrants and they want to deport them. So none of this adds up. But, you know, one of the reasons why our economy did so much better than comparable advanced economies across the world is because we actually had a replenishment because we had a lot of immigrants legally and undocumented who had a, you know, larger than normal by American standards families.
So a lot to unravel here. So what Hillary is saying is that the illegals are here because they need to mow our grass and pop out babies. That's what Hillary said. That's what the illegals are here for, to have the babies. That's not what Trump is saying. Now, what Hillary has done here has really, I think it's a service. She's done a service for us because she's admitted that there's something else going on here. Ladies and gentlemen, people like Hillary Clinton want to dismantle this country. And how do you dismantle America? You have to go after the family structure, the family unit. That's what made America so strong, were the family ties. And for the past 60 or 70 years now, we have seen efforts to undermine the American family, the traditional nuclear family that Hillary just talked about. There was a time in this country when people were having 4 and 5 and 6 kids. This was a big part of our life. Of the fabric of America was the family unit. But all of these far leftists, all of these organizations at their core are meant to destroy the family unit. Black Lives Matter actually said it. I mean, a lot of these folks are hiding it or they're weaving it into their ideology and their ethos. But with BLM, they came right out and said they were attacking the nuclear family in America. And that's what Hillary's talking about here. She is a big proponent of that, the destruction of the family unit, the entire LGBTQIA plus the entire alphabet activist world is designed to blow up the traditional family. As a matter of fact, in many of these schools now where you see the teachers, and if you've got a transgender child and they say, you know what, if your parents don't affirm you, just call me mommy. Which is what's led to a massive, massive scandal in education, which are all the pedophiles. I mean, I know they're going after the Boy Scouts and the Catholic Church, but they're not talking about the public school system in America, which is where most of this kind of stuff is happening. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, where do you stand on this? Do you believe that we are a Christian nation? Do you believe that we need to be out there, as President Trump said? We need to start birthing more babies, American babies, on American soil. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. So someone's been sending me these videos, and Dylan, you just graduated. What was it, like last year you graduated?
Yeah, December.
All right. So U of M, I have a question. Was it a very dignified event, or was it sort of like, you know, twerking at the nightclub kind of a thing?
It was fairly calm. There was no twerking going on.
So I don't know what it is, but this graduation cycle, there are videos all over the place of these, and it's predominantly black women who are doing this, not guys, but black women that are getting up there. When their names are called, they just break out in these twerking kinds of dances. It looks like some movie that you would, I've never seen anything like this before. People are going crazy. So I'm wondering, at some point, where did we go from having a nice, solemn, dignified commencement ceremony to being I don't even know how to describe this. Someone said it looks like something out of the Serengeti. I don't know. It's insane. So we're coming up in the next segment. We're gonna hear from a black dude who's giving some thoughts and commentary on what is going on here. But he made an interesting observation. It is not the men doing this. It's the women. And predominantly, when you see all the videos out there from Walmart to Popeyes to wherever, it's the women that are involved in the fights. There was a Waffle House brawl that, sweet mercy, I'm just surprised people weren't killed. Never seen anything like this.
The women at Waffle House, though, they'll take care of business. So better not do that there.
No, they will. No, it's true. It's true. So I'm not sure what's going on, but even black men now are speaking out about this in very, very direct language, that this kind of thing is just insane. And I do wonder when things change, because back when I was, you know, of course, I was a graduate in the late 80s. So we were all still very, you know, you had to behave yourself. You had to wear pants under your graduation gown. I don't even think these women are wearing clothes. And there's this one video where a graduate's mother gets up on the stage and she's twerking.
You weren't even allowed to, like, celebrate until all the kids' names were called.
Right. You couldn't even applaud. They would stomp you.
Yeah.
All I can tell you about this mother, the Spanx was working overtime on that one. I'm just telling you, sweet Lord. All right. I got to take a break here. But I'm just curious. It looks like a nightclub, not high school graduation. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Everything black folk got to do today got to be a hot ghetto mess. Everything we put our hands on got to have ratchetness in it. Ignorance, just ghetto ratchetness. We just pushing back against the stereotype. You're welcoming the stereotype and showing per ignorance. Just ghetto, just ratchet. This video I'm about to show you of a graduation, these ain't black girls, you know, standing up, cheering. Yay, they got the breakout twerking, tooting it up, shaking their ass all over the place. And the parents are there cheering. This is why folk don't want black folk around. Because every place we show up, we got to be loud, ignorant, ratchet, and ghetto. And there are many blacks who don't want anything to do with that. We don't want anything to do with that type of mess. But you know what? Every time you turn around and you see mess like I'm about to show you, yeah, you know who it is.
All right. Now, welcome back to the show. And that's a gentleman who goes by the tag Black Southerner on X. And what's fascinating is the number of black conservatives that are speaking out now. And a lot of them were previously Democrats, and they're coming out and saying, we have got to get a handle on this. And they have been, look, we have been so conditioned by the media, by churches, that a lot of folks in this country have been told, you can't say anything, you're not allowed to say anything. Well, I sincerely disagree, because we all live in the same country. We all live in the same states and cities. We have to live together. And to silence people just because they're pointing out something that is not right, that itself is not right, ladies and gentlemen. So I say, let's have that conversation. Nothing wrong with that at all. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to go back. I was reading Jake Tapper's book over the weekend. And when you see it all together, and I think that's ultimately what really set me off over the weekend. And I was prepared to come in here, and we were going to read passages of the book. And, of course, then yesterday we get the diagnosis about Joe Biden and the cancer situation. But going back to 2017, there was evidence that Joe Biden was not quite there. And it only got worse. You got to love the title of chapter one. This is chapter one in the book. He totally blanked us. That's the... No, I'm a Christian. I can't write that kind of language in my books. I can't. Sorry. Anyway, and they're talking about David Plouffe, who ran Obama's first campaign, and Plouffe is out there saying, we got so screwed by Biden as a party. So there's a good chunk of the Democrat apparatus, and they're just blaming Joe Biden flat out. But it was clear from Tapper and Alex Thompson, his co-author, that they were going to blame the inner circle as well. And at some point, you can't really blame Biden because his mind's not there. And if his mind isn't there, I mean, what are you going to do? It's insane. But originally, and the way that Tapper described all of this, Biden was always going to be a one-term guy. He was going to be the bridge between the next generation, between the Democrats of old and the next generation. By the way, one of the things I thought was fascinating here is that Biden was originally going to go with Gretchen Whitmer as the VP and not Kamala Harris. And by the way, they didn't want one of the reasons they held off is they were not confident that Kamala could actually do the job. But the reason they put Kamala on the ticket, and I appreciate the honesty, we all sort of knew this, but the reason why is because they had to. Jim Clyburn actually made them, the congressman from South Carolina, made them commission a poll to find out what would happen to black Democrat females if Biden backed away from his promise to put a black female on the ticket. And that's why they did it. According to Jake Tapper, and I want to read some of this to you, that it was Jill Biden. This is great. To family and close friends, the mythology became almost a theology, a near religious faith in Biden's ability to rise again. And as with any theology, skepticism was forbidden. As one reporter who had closely covered Biden told us, Biden literally says, keep the faith, which means to say, don't allow yourself to even question it. And it created a strange circle of groupthink where none of them would permit the other ones to demonstrate any doubts. Part of that theology is made up of narratives of questionable accuracy. That's another fancy way of saying lies. The image of Joe, aviators, ice cream, 1960s Corvette, as avuncular and Jill as warm. These are not universally held impressions among those who know them well. Oh, it's brutal. But everybody kind of figured that out. I mean, you could tell. Jill Biden was not a very kind person. Look what she did to her husband, for crying out loud. The president was fond of using the formal family motto of giving my word as a Biden. But they had another more private saying, never call a fat person fat. It wasn't just about being polite. It was about ignoring ugly facts. Don't say mean truths is how someone close to the family put it. The Biden's greatest strength is living in their own reality, this person told us, and Biden himself is gifted at creating it. Bo isn't going to die. Hunter's sobriety is stable. Joe always tells the truth. Joe cares more about his family than his own ambition. These are horrible people. Turned out all of those were lies. They didn't, not true. From 2020 until 2024, all of this resulted in an almost spiritual refusal to admit that Biden was declining. So again, folks, going back, they're still trying to spin this, even though all of this is coming out. They knew going all the way back to 2017 that things were not well, but 2020, they really knew things were not good. And they still let this guy run for the White House. Again, who was running the White House? Who was calling the shots? All roads, ladies and gentlemen, all roads lead back to Barack Obama. Just unbelievable. One senior White House aide who left because they didn't think Biden should run again confessed to us that we attempted to shield him from his own staff. So many people didn't realize the extent of the decline beginning in 2023. I love Joe Biden, the aide said. When it comes to decency, there are few in politics like him. Which, may I just stop here for a moment? Okay, if you mean taking showers with your daughter, butt naked, decent. Still, it was a disservice to the country and to the party for his family and advisors to allow him to run again. I would agree with this. And I would say this, that the worst offenders of all, Jill Biden and the family. They were basically using this corpse of a man to funnel money into their bank accounts. And that's sad. That is, and it's almost, well, it is. It's unforgivable. Unforgivable. These are very bad people. Very bad people, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, President Trump has been fighting to get the country back on great economic footing, going to war with China. No doubt about it, though, the stock market, a little topsy-turvy these days. Trump is playing the long game for America, putting Americans first. And that's why you've got to play smart, too. You've got to be able to secure your hard-earned savings and your retirement with Vault U.S. Gold. Now, their IRS-approved gold IRAs let you roll over your IRA or 401k into a no-commission and with no-commission pros. It is safe, simple, tax-smart, and you protect your future. I want you to give them a call, folks, 833-511-GOLD. That's 833-511-GOLD. You can visit them at vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. That's vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. And they're going to send you a free investor kit. Again, it will not cost you a penny. No strings attached. That's 833-511-GOLD. We'll be right back. All right, folks, don't forget 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stearns Show. We're going to be talking to Dr. Manny Sethi from Vanderbilt Medical Center about the diagnosis. And this idea that clearly there was some sort of a massive, massive cover-up. And maybe they didn't tell Biden. I mean, that could be. Maybe they just chose not to tell Biden that the poor guy had cancer. But we'll be talking more about that again tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. Be sure to watch Newsmax. I want to go back to something that Van Jones said yesterday on CNN. And you know what's interesting about Van? He and I are at very different ends of the political spectrum, but he happens to be a very good friend with a lot of conservatives, including our good buddy Governor Mike Huckabee, now ambassador to Israel. And every now and again, Van Jones will call out his own party, and he did that yesterday, cut three plays.
Anybody who cares about this country and about just the dynamics of power, this is the emperor's new clothes playing itself out in real time. Everybody knew, but everyone was afraid to say, except for David Axelrod, for 2 years, that something was wrong here. And so, I was shocked. I love Joe Biden. I don't like him. I love him. I got a chance to work with him when I was a part of the Obama administration and loved him more every day. I was shocked to see his condition when he came out, and so was the world. And that wasn't the first time he was in that condition. The book makes it very, very clear. There are people who knew and said nothing, and that is a crime against this republic, and I think the Democrats are going to pay for a long time for being a part of what is now being revealed to be a massive cover-up.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. This is a tremendous opportunity for the Republicans, as long as they don't botch it. But I just don't see the Democrats recovering from this anytime soon. Oh, this is the part of the story that that I found fascinating. So apparently, Biden and George Clooney had known each other for years, going back years, and they were very good friends. Now, George Clooney, and I'm reading from page 174 in the book. So Biden was showing up at a fundraiser. The Secret Service agents entered the room and announced that President Biden had arrived. And then, reading from page 174, Biden hobbled out from around the corner. Clooney knew the president had just arrived from the G7 leader summit in Italy and might be tired, but holy blank, he wasn't expecting this. That's how they wrote it. There was an, instead of saying holy blank, it was holy with like seven O's. The president appeared severely diminished, as if he'd aged a decade since Clooney last saw him in December of 2022. He was taking tiny steps and had an aide guiding him by his arm. This is terrible. Here's how one Hollywood VIP recalled the moment. It was like watching someone who was not alive. It was startling. And we all looked at each other. It was so awful. Thank you for being here, the president said to guests as he walked past him. Thank you for being here. Clooney felt a knot form in his stomach as the president approached him. Biden looked at him. Thank you for being here, he said. Thank you for being here. An aide who was assisting the president said, you know George. Yeah, yeah, the president said. Thank you for being here. It was obvious to many standing there that the president did not know who George Clooney was. It was not okay, said a Hollywood VIP who had witnessed the moment. That thing, the moment where you recognize someone you know, especially a famous person who's doing a blinking fundraiser for you, it was uncomfortable. And so then the aide had to whisper in George Clooney. And even then, the president did not know who he was. Clooney was shaken to his core. The president had not recognized him, a man he had known for years. Clooney had expressed concerns about Biden's health before. A White House aide had told him a few months before they were working on getting the president to take longer steps when he walked. But obviously, the president went far beyond his gait. This was much graver. This was the president of the United States? Well, all I can say is that the only person who comes out of this book looking good is Robert Hur, the special counsel, the man who was demonized by the media. And again, I have yet to hear Jake Tapper on any of his programs this week or last week say, you know what, we got this wrong. They ought to be apologizing to Robert Hur, but I'm telling you, everybody in this book, everybody mentioned you, and they said nothing. George Clooney, the Biden family, all of these Democrats, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Fetterman, the list goes on and on and on. They are all guilty, and shame on them, because whoever was running the country, whether it be Hillary or Barack or both of them together, their far-left policies nearly killed this country. And somebody ought to be held accountable for that. Somebody ought to be held accountable, folks. Does that mean we need some sort of a commission akin to like the Warren Commission after the assassination of JFK? I think we do. I think we need to get to the bottom of whoever was running the country, because those people are far leftist, and those people need to be punished for what they did to all of us, to all of us. And quite frankly, the FCC needs to get involved, and the FCC needs to go after every single one of these broadcasting companies that allowed these lies to be perpetrated, and by the way, and refused to retract all of their reporting. So the FCC needs to get involved, and then the owners of these newspapers and magazines and TV stations, they need to fire every single one of the anchors, writers, reporters who fell for all of this. Those people, they've got to get the heave-ho. I don't think this story is over, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not sure. I don't think the media is in a position where they can ignore this anymore. Because, again, when you look at the timing of how all of this played out, it was incredibly well orchestrated, and that's just unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. All right, folks, we've got to leave it there. Crazy day. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. All right, folks, get out there. Have a good one. You be good, America.